And we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples and Riley County Commissioner John Ford joining us on the show here for this final segment. You know, there's been a lot of discussion lately at the national level. We heard over the weekend the Minneapolis City Council has opted to do something different with their police department. Not exactly sure what their plans are, but there's been talks of dismantling the police department, maybe defunding. I know there's calls for that in other places across the country. John, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that and what your kind of reaction was to what Minneapolis city leaders were discussing over the weekend.
Sure. You know, there's, I think, logistically and fundamentally, a huge difference between the defunding and dismantling of this particular entity. The defunding of public entities happened for, you know, a mirage of different reasons. You know, sometimes just revenues aren't there, or sometimes you need to downsize, or one part of it's become too big, or this or that. So that's not an uncommon process, and it's particularly not uncommon with those service-based entities like law enforcement or fire, rescue, health, so on and so forth. So, you know, if that's the case, that's somewhat of a standard operating procedure, and given the dynamics of everything that's happened in Minneapolis, I think you could definitely look at that. I think what's happened there was just absolutely tragic, and not just the incident itself, but a lack of institutional control and leadership that was needed to be in place afterwards, and that does need to be addressed, and it does need to be addressed locally. Now, if you are dismantling an entire force, to me, that's a whole different ballgame. And, you know, law enforcement is a critical part, particularly locally, of, you know, to enforce some things and protect some things and protect people's interests and livelihood. I would hope that they would use some discretion with that if they're going to do that. And if you need to change, you know, administrators, chiefs, you know, those people, that's perfectly fine. And that's probably, at this point, probably necessary, but to take it completely out of the question, particularly in a large area. And it's not just Minneapolis, it's St. Paul, too. So you're dealing with two very large metro areas all at once. And to me, that could be dangerous if you just, you know, completely kick it to the curb.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many unanswered questions here that I guess we'll kind of just wait and see.
Mainstream media and social media, I'm not for sure which one it is at this point in time either, so still to be determined, I guess.
Yeah, well, definitely so. And obviously, yeah, I think there's the question that comes up when you hear that, so, well, if you take away the police, won't crime go up?
I would certainly think so. At least the incentive to commit crime would certainly do that. A lot of people, you know, when we look at things, you know, we watch movies or we watch TV or whatnot, we don't get FBI and all the larger entities. But, you know, law enforcement at basic level is a local level, you know, local level service. And so local entities, whether it's municipal or county or commonwealth or parish or tribal, are the ones that usually, you know, set those up and set those up accordingly. You know, I have long said that we are in very desperate need of criminal justice reform. So there's some things that could filter through that could be tangible for everybody. But, you know, every community, every county, every spot is different. And it does need to be taken into consideration when those decisions are made. I think we're fortunate locally. I think on a couple of aspects, I've been very impressed with Director Dennis Butler and his efforts to be open and accountable and transparent through everything that's happening, and I certainly appreciate that. And I appreciate the community's efforts to, you know, bring up this type of awareness and these type of issues, but to do so in a way that's respectful, in a way that doesn't create any more issues, and is responsible and peaceful. And that's a good dynamic to have, and I hope at least locally we can continue to work from that framework and make those changes as we need to be able to.
Yeah. Well, certainly going to be an interesting next few months to see what happens. And I know we reached out to the Riley County Police Department to see if they had any thoughts on what was going on, and they've declined the interview here for now, and as I can understand.
But I get the indication that there's some things occurring internally that they want to work on. They're probably just not there yet, and given the dynamics of everything, I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. Well, kind of moving on a little bit, we're going in, kind of changing subjects and talk about the COVID-19 recovery here that's going on locally. It does sound like tonight, midnight, is when the next phase goes into operation. And boy, I tell you what, we've done, I think, a pretty good job here locally, given our population size, to keep the cases pretty minimal.
Yeah, it'd be terribly wrong for me not to put in a plug for our director of the health department, Julie Gibbs. She has been just absolutely amazing and a real pleasure to work with through this trying time. She's been very focused, very determined, very open-minded to listen to everything and everybody, and to take all the things into consideration. You know, some people aren't happy that we're moving forward quickly. Some people aren't happy that we're moving in increments at all, but you know, we're taking all the necessary precautions and we're trying to be as proactive as we can be, and we're also looking ahead at what may or may not happen and the impacts that that may have too. And I think we've navigated so far pretty well. You know, I don't think we're nearly through this yet, and you know, I don't know, you know, the increase in cases that we're seeing currently kind of a product of the reopening period there in and around Memorial Day. We've had a few increases in tests. Our test results come back kind of in doses, so it's not, you know, you send a test, you get it back, you send a test, you get it back. Sometimes we get five or six of them back. Sometimes we have kind of a lull where we don't get anything back. So I do see that we'll have some cases, but you know, by and large, we've kind of stayed at a kind of a flat line through this entire process, one, two, three, here and there. And I think as long as we can do that, we can keep all the other components in check and in control and moving forward.
Do you, and I know they had Gene Taylor on the game yesterday, but do you anticipate getting to go to a K-State football game this fall?
Yeah. I'm actually very hopeful and optimistic at least the start of the season. I don't know how it's going to finish out. I think that's the question that I have.
Well, we saw today that K-State announced their semester changes here, the adjustments. So it sounds like,
and I think they're geared towards that manner too of opening up early and kind of after Thanksgiving, kind of going back to a digital option because they kind of anticipate the same thing that we're anticipating. So having that plan in place and trying to be proactive with it is a great example of how all this will have to work moving forward.
Makes me curious if, you know, when you come back for the spring semester, and I'm just talking out loud here, I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe they won't take a spring break to just kind of keep everybody in one spot.
Yeah, I've heard several different boys, and they continue to kind of work through that. Obviously, they are going to have personnel and staff issues along with that, too, of what to do and how to deal with, you know, revenue losses, you know, and probably I think it's reasonable to think there's going to be probably a sizable decrease in enrollment, so that kind of has to play into that factor too. But, you know, for us locally, you know, our local economy is based largely off that for several factors, not just the students being here, but provides that workforce that we need and provides those other elements that kind of make things go. So it's kind of a teeter-totter of sorts, and we're all working very diligently to try to navigate through all that.
Yep. Kansas State University is a big driver of our local economy. That's no doubt about
Absolutely.
Well, John, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes. Everybody take care and stay safe, please.
All right. That is First District Raleigh County Commissioner John Ford joining us on the program today. Also, our thanks to Rich Vargo, Raleigh County Clerk, who joined us earlier in the program. Be sure to get out and register to vote. You got time to do it now. Don't wait till the last minute.